In a few moments, you'll experience the live stream from LifePoint Church. I'm so glad that you're here to join us for that experience. At our church, our mission is to influence people to find and follow Jesus. We want to see people find Jesus, in other words, believe in him for their salvation. And then after that, we want to see those believers follow Christ in a life of wholehearted devotion. All of our energy and effort is put into serving you, helping you experience that. So maybe you're joining us from another part of the world or another state in the United States. We're glad that you're here. My encouragement to you would be wherever you are in the world, find a local body of believers to get involved with. Don't let this be your church alone. And then for those of you that are in our local area or maybe even part of our church family, perhaps some of you are on vacation or some of you have kids that are sick or for whatever reason you decided to stay in this weekend. And I would just invite you to consider not using our live stream as a substitute for the church experience. Make sure you're involved in community. We have the wonder of technology to take advantage of experiencing a service through computer and in our own homes, but that's not the church. I would invite you to come and be part of community. You can do that especially through small groups here at our church. I would invite you to get connected with people, share life together, be part of what God is doing in each other's lives. It's a very powerful thing. And then, of course, as you're watching via live stream, I would invite you to participate in the act of worship through giving. I would encourage you to go on to our website, lifepointchurch.us. There you can find a tab to click, and you can be a part of this experience through the giving of your gifts. My deepest prayer is that God would use the experience of this service to change you, to draw you closer to himself. I hope you enjoy this time together.
I hate it when that happens. Sorry. Thanks, Dave. So if you're laughing at that, it's probably because you've seen the movie. So who here has seen the movie Avengers Endgame? All right, several. That's good. Well, if you haven't seen it, don't worry. I'm not going to give any spoilers. I actually have another question for you. Have any of you ever heard of the Avenger named Justice? Three? Yeah. See, I think that's kind of ironic. I mean, that's what he looks like. That's a real Avenger. But I think it's ironic because it's like an injustice that nobody's really heard of the Avenger named Justice. And that's another Marvel character. And, you know, all this is Marvel. But over in the DC Comics world, you've got the Justice League. Now, everybody's heard of the Justice League, right? This is what the Justice League looks like today. But they didn't always look like that. Let me roll the clock back here. Who remembers this place? Anybody remember that place? That's the Hall of Justice. That's what, like the headquarters, you know, of the Justice League back in the 70s when I was watching this on Saturday morning cartoons. And back then, the Justice League looked a little different. So remember the Super Friends? Yeah, not quite as cool. And I don't know about you, but I'm so glad they haven't brought back the Wonder Twins. Remember them? Oh, they were so lame. But anyway, justice, you know, justice is like a theme among superheroes, but that's all make-believe, that's fictional, just for fun. So let's move over and look at justice in the real world. What do you think of when I say the word justice? Let's keep it in the 70s for a minute. Do you think of Judge Joe Wapner? Remember that guy, the People's Court? He was like the first, you know, TV court show. Or maybe, I find it interesting that when I Google search the word justice, you know, the top result happens to be a girl's clothing store. Or maybe when you hear me say justice, you think of demanding justice, fighting for our rights. Or perhaps your mind goes to the highest court in our land, the justices of the Supreme Court of the United States. Or maybe you think about the judgments of the courts, the punitive side of justice. You know, justice has been a hot topic lately. In fact, the word justice was Merriam-Webster.com's word of the year for 2018. Now, Merriam-Webster, they determine the word of the year based on high volume lookups throughout the year. And for those of you that don't know, Merriam-Webster is like the trusted dictionary of the U.S. for the past couple centuries. And the way they define justice is the maintenance or administration of what is reasonable, correct, lawful, or deserved. And I think that's a pretty good definition. But I don't want to stop at the dictionary. I want to go to God's Word and see what does God say about justice. In the Bible, the word justice comes up almost 200 times, and many of those times it is closely followed by the words widows, orphans, and the poor. As it turns out, widows, orphans, and the impoverished are the most vulnerable people to exploitation, abuse, and injustices. It's true now, and it's been true throughout history. So God keeps on reminding us that justice is not just an abstract concept for us to believe in. In God's eyes, justice includes action. When God talks about justice, He's calling us to do something. So let's look at Isaiah 1:17 to see what He says about it. God says, "Learn to do good, seek justice, help the oppressed, defend the cause of orphans, fight for the rights of widows." So notice the verbs in that passage: to learn, to seek, to help, to defend, to fight. God is calling us to do something about justice. Now this could be a daunting challenge. I mean, how does one church make a difference? How can LifePoint maximize our impact? Well, 8 years ago, we decided to focus on defending the cause of orphans, to stand for the orphan. And here's why. Current estimates indicate that approximately 10 million orphans live in institutions throughout the globe. While the lives of all orphans are of concern to the church, the plight of these children is particularly bleak. Studies reveal that children living in institutions are more likely to experience violence and sexual abuse when compared to orphans living in a foster care environment. Generally, institutionalized orphans face few options and great desperation in finding life beyond the orphanage. Because they have grown up in a regimented environment that poorly reflects life on the outside, these children are not equipped to live independently. They lack the basic life skills and emotional stability to function on their own. In Ukraine, for instance, the typical orphan graduate ages out of the system at age 16. These young adults commonly turn to crime and prostitution as a means of survival. The desperation drives many to suicide, with as many as 10 to 15% taking their lives before the age 18. God calls His people, the church, to respond, to do something, to defend the cause of orphans. At LifePoint Church, we are doing something. We have responded to the call by starting the Alpha Life Ministry in Ukraine. Alpha Life employs 4 Ukrainian staff who work extensively with young men and women who have aged out of orphanages. The staff help with everyday practical needs, but also just generally caring for and loving these kids through the Alpha Life Ministry Center. In Alpha Life, the kids find a supportive community of friends and role models. And at the center, they participate in life skills classes on money, relationships, health, and hygiene. They're introduced to God and the Bible and church. They prepare and share meals together. They get help with their homework, they play games, and just basically hang out. Through Alpha Life, these once institutionalized orphans get to experience family. God has been blessing this ministry over the past 4 years. In fact, now they are preparing to duplicate Alpha Life in other cities in Ukraine. But I don't want to tell you the whole story because I have 2 special guests here to help me do that. So I'll introduce them as they make their way up here. Mike Doris is the founder and president of Orphan Outreach. He's also a founding board member of the Christian Alliance for Orphans. Previously, he was vice president for Buckner International, and he's been here before, so you may recognize him. So we welcome him back to the stage, Mike. Thanks for being here. And for his first visit to LifePoint Church, I introduced you Oleg Shalosky. He is the new Ukraine country director for Orphan Outreach. He's also the director for International Leadership Development Center based in Kyiv, Ukraine, which provides training and orientation for adoptive and foster care parents and child welfare professionals. And previously, he was the president of Ukraine Without Orphans. Oleg, thanks for being here with us, all the way from Ukraine. All right, so let me begin with you, Oleg. I've just briefly shared about the challenges that orphans face, but you're from Ukraine. You live there. This is your field of ministry. Tell us from a Ukrainian perspective about the situation of the orphan.
Well, first of all, thank you for the invitation to be here. It's a privilege to share about our work in Ukraine for your church. And I would like to say that we are used to think about orphans as someone who doesn't have parents, but that is not the case in Ukraine and in the world today. Most of children living in orphanages, they have parents, but their parents don't care for them. And children get to the orphanages for various reasons, and such as abuse and neglect, drug and alcohol addictions of their parents, poverty, etc. So today's orphans are the children deprived of parental care who live in institutions. And most of those children don't go back to their families even after they graduate from orphanages. So when children live in orphanages, it makes them unprepared for living independently after they graduate and have to leave the orphanage. They live in institutions under supervision in the structured environment. They don't make decisions for themselves. They don't have control over their life. The orphanage staff does that for them. They don't get necessary life experience through social interactions children in the families have when they go out, meet people, do something. They don't see the role modeling of behavior in the family, how they, when children in the families observe their parents do something. So, and the other thing that everything, when children live in the orphanages, everything is done for them. When they come to dining room, the food is out there. After they eat and they take some of the play, like dishes somewhere, and they are washed by the next time they come to eat. Somebody cleans the facility. Somebody gets them their school supplies and clothes. When they are sick, they go to the nurse, they get the medicine, get doctor's appointments. So they don't participate in the processes, and they don't observe how this all happens and how it gets there. So they don't know how to do this when they live independently without someone providing all that for them.
But they're eventually, like you said, they're going to age out. They're going to leave. They don't stay there forever. So what's that process look like? What happens?
Well, children age out of the orphanages at the age of 15 or 16 after they graduate from middle school. And if you think about yourself or your children in that age, we realize that no one is prepared to live independently at that age. But those children have to, because they have no choice. After they graduate from orphanages, they usually go to vocational schools and they live in dorms with other children like them. And that is the time when many of them begin to use drugs and alcohol, get involved in crime, or many girls get pregnant in that environment. In addition to that, these kids don't have any budgeting and financial management skills. They never seen that done. Nobody taught them. So when they get some government allowance, monthly allowance from the government, but usually they might spend all their monthly amount within 3 to 5 days after they get them, and then have to survive for the rest of the month somehow, because nobody taught them to do anything with that. So this life without supervision and structure they were used to in the orphanage actually destroys them. And that's why we have this set statistics for the orphanage graduates, that within 5 to 10 years after graduation, 50% of them will be using drugs and alcohol, engage in criminal behaviors or prostitution. 25% of them will be homeless or unemployment. 15% of them might attempt to commit suicide. And apart from that, if they go beyond that and kind of this doesn't happen to them and they get jobs, they will be losing jobs often. If they create a family, that often their families would broke apart and fall apart because you don't have skills for building healthy relationship.
So what about kids in that situation that get involved in Alpha Life Ministry? How does Alpha Life Ministry help them?
Well, one famous research says that the chance for success for orphanage graduates increases tremendously if they have relationship with meaningful adult or significant adult in their life. So this is what actually Alpha Life provides. Our goal is to provide help and support to graduating orphans by connecting them to Christian adults who will be there for them. In our project, we try to create safe family-like environments so the children could connect to others. We try to help them with their education, with jobs, help them to solve the problems they have with like legal issues, with, again, jobs and education. We provide them counseling and guidance, and most importantly, we expose them to gospel and church so that they could know how they can build their life with God.
So thank you, Oleg. It's wonderful to be a part of a ministry like Alpha Life. But I want to switch here to Mike, because we've been talking about Ukraine and the challenges that orphans face there, but these are not unique challenges in Ukraine. You have been serving orphans in many countries around the world for 40 years and lots of experience. Can you give us kind of like a global view, like what is the situation of the orphan globally?
Well, when you look at the big picture, between 130 million to 150 million orphans are around the world, and that's an estimate by UNICEF. But even more significant than that, there's 600 million vulnerable children who are at risk of being orphans but are living in very marginalized manner. And so it's a huge problem around the world. And some of the major trends that are happening right now in orphan care, one particularly is what's called the DI movement, which is deinstitutionalization, because many countries are over-dependent on residential care. And in my 40 years, thanks for reminding me about how old I am.
Sure, no problem.
Of ministry with kids, I've never met a kid who said they wanted to grow up in an orphanage. Never. All kids want family. They want connection. I can't tell you the number of kids who've just come out and said, "Would you adopt me?" Kids want family. And so the effort now worldwide is trying to find family for kids, permanency, either with their biological or kinship or adoption. And that's another one of the unintended consequences of DI has been the leaving behind of special needs kids. And LifePoint has been very involved with our work with the Down Syndrome School in Guatemala. We need a lot more Down Syndrome schools around the world. There are just not enough services for these kids. And when we look at kids that fall within the normal spectrum without special needs, the statistics of what happens to kids with special needs are even worse when you look at that population. And so, you know, when we have one kid that just recently, when I was in Ukraine, a lot of these kids end up in retirement facilities after they graduate out of the orphanage because there's nowhere to go. And so one of them said they were going through the intake procedure at this retirement facility, and the director basically said, "You're here to die. This is your last stop." Well, these special needs kids have same dreams and hopes and desires as every other kid. And it's a great opportunity for us to provide hope, for the church to provide hope to these kids. Another big trend that's happening right now is the reduction of international adoption. 15 years ago, there were over 20,000 kids a year that were adopted by Americans. Last year, it was just over 3,000. And this has put a lot of pressure on the countries to create adoption cultures within their country. And Ukraine's one of the leaders in that and really activating the church to adopt kids within their own country. And finally, I would say a major trend that is really impacting governments is migration. We all have heard the issues at our border and the struggles that are happening down there, but it's happening around the world, in Europe and many countries, because of war, famine, and economic reasons, really the economic reasons being the biggest reason. And so I was in Honduras just a few weeks ago meeting with the head of child welfare there, and she told me that within the first 3 months of this year, 11,000 children were returned to Honduras that they had to reintegrate. So not only are they taking the care of the kids within the child welfare system, they've got this whole influx of children that are coming back into the country that they have to reintegrate. And they only have two case managers for the whole country that are in charge of reintegration. So you can see some of the pressures that are happening. But it also gives us opportunity as a church, a worldwide church, to be able to have significant impact in these kids' lives.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. So let me brag on Orphan Outreach a little bit here for a minute. I have just been very impressed with, many of you have been to Guatemala or Ukraine and seen the kind of work and partnerships that Orphan Outreach has. And I just have the highest respect for the integrity and everything that happens and the transparency of Orphan Outreach and your partners. But I want to ask a question that I think maybe is on some of your minds. You know, we hear about in the news scandals, adoption scams, orphans that aren't really orphans. Can you address that a little bit?
Well, really, you would think there wouldn't be corruption when you're dealing with kids, but there's a significant amount of it. Even though the majority of people who are working in orphan care are doing the best they can to do it right, there is a percentage that, and too high a percentage of providers that are using kids for their own benefit in various ways. So whenever a child is seen as a commodity, that is when corruption happens. And it can happen in different ways that you wouldn't think. For example, in residential care, you may have some residential providers will start recruiting kids from the community to come into the residential homes so they can sponsor them and make money. And a lot of times that money is not used wisely and there's not good services provided. In the adoption arena, to be able to get enough children to be able to adopt, many times there'll be providers that will trick the families into thinking that their kid's coming over for a sponsorship program to get education, but in reality, they're signing their rights away. This has happened recently in Ethiopia, where there's many mothers right now that are wondering where their kids are and have lost complete contact with their kids. Adoption is a wonderful thing, but when it's used to make money, then it becomes corrupt and it's not in the best interest of the child. I had a legislator just recently from a country I was at. I was talking about funding for kids, and he basically told me that if legislatures were not going to vote for more money for kids, the only way they're going to vote on something is if it somehow personally puts money in their pocket. This was the head of the legislative body of this country. And so one of our responsibilities as Christians is to really stand up and be a representative and a voice for these kids. Many people that get involved in orphan care, they want to help kids and they say, well, I didn't sign up for all this bureaucracy and corruption and nonprofits that are not doing things in the right way. And I tell them, well, yeah, you did. You just didn't know it. But that's part of what we're responsible for, because the children don't have a voice to deal with these issues, but we do. And I think that's what God holds us to, that standard.
So speaking of God's standard, then, considering all these circumstances, what, in your perspective, does God want the church to do?
Well, I think the church has a very direct mandate from the Lord to care for widows and orphans in their distress. There's over 40 references to it in the Old Testament. In fact, in almost every judgment against Israel, he mentions that they didn't do that. He calls himself the father to the fatherless. And so the church has an obligation to not treat orphans as missions light, but to have intentional orphan ministry. And LifePoint is a is a shining example of that principle of really being very deliberate in how they minister to orphans. In the New Testament, you have James 1:27. There's only one verse that refers to it, to taking care of orphans, but it's a very powerful verse. It says, pure and undefiled religion is this, to minister to widows and orphans in their distress. And when you think about it, really, taking care of orphans is in the DNA of the church. During the Roman era, the one way when the families would get rid of children that they didn't want was they did what they called exposure. And they would bring the child to the Colosseum and they would leave them there and the child would die from exposure to the elements. Well, Christians were known to go after the games and find children that had been left behind and bring them into their homes and raise them. In the Middle Ages, monasteries, many people left children in monasteries, and monasteries, almost all of them, were taking care of children within the monastery. In fact, that's how residential care really started, was in the Middle Ages. So, you know, when you look at Jesus' ministry, when he came to earth, he came impoverished. He healed the sick. He fed the hungry. You know, that Christianity is about action. You know, compassion without action doesn't result in anything. The compassion should move us to action. And so that is really the essence of orphan care. When you look at our DNA, when you think about it, we're all ex-orphans. Christ said, I will not leave you as orphans. He actually adopted us into the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. We're just living out our own reality when we minister to orphans in their distress.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. So we asked you a few years ago to come to Ukraine and look at this program, Alpha Life Ministry, because we knew as a church we couldn't sustain this forever, and we needed some help to come in and manage the many aspects involved. So we invite you to come look at it and consider taking it on. And thankfully you said yes, but I know there was a lot involved in that decision. So could you tell us, you know, what did you see that made your organization want to take this on?
Well, other than you browbeating me into it,
just the good stuff.
You're right. My first contact with LifePoint was with Bill Folkerts, and he came to one of the workshops at CAFO, and then he asked me to come up and do consultation for a project that y'all were involved in Ukraine with Alpha Life. And so I just came up as a consultant. And little did I know I was going to be sucked into the vortex of LifePoint, and that's kind of what we affectionately call it. And it is a good thing. And so about, I think, a year and a half or so into the project, Joe called me and asked if we would take it on. But for us, it's a bigger decision than that, because we just don't take on individual projects. We take on countries. And so our board prayed, we prayed, and really our love for LifePoint and our respect for your church and for Joe and the staff, we just felt like this was really something God wants us to do. And so we did that. But we look at it now, our goal from the very beginning was to set up an NGO in Kiev. And again,
NGO, NGO would be just another word for nonprofit.
Yes, thank you. I keep saying NGO and don't explain it, so thank you for that. And so the Lord, through Bill Folkerts, introduced us to Oleg. And again, a church connection. And Oleg is a well-respected, he's humble, but I'll brag on him. He is a well-respected church leader in orphan care and very well-respected within the government. And so by having him as our director, we really are starting up here, where we usually start here and work 2 or 3, 4 years to get here. And so we're very excited about him taking the leadership. And so the seed that you planted with Alpha Life and Dnipro now is going to spread throughout Ukraine in many different ways in serving children in that country.
Let me ask you another question, Oleg, based on what Mike just said. So this model that Mike's talking about with orphan outreach going into whole countries, not just going into one place and working on one program, but trying to change the situation for the whole country, for the orphans in the whole country, How is that model being implemented now in Ukraine?
For the last 10 years, I've been working in Ukraine with my organization to change the system of care and promote best practices in child welfare. And Ukraine is going through this DI or deinstitutionalization reform process Mike talked about. And Ukraine is also kind of trying to reform the care system. And that's why at this moment, Ukraine really needs a lot of good models and best practices of such methodologies of such services. So that's why in our work, with our project with Orphan Outreach, we want to design the programs of such services. We would like to pilot them in different sites and then to offer them for others for application. And as Mike said, we are registering a new nonprofit organization that will represent Orphan Outreach in Ukraine. The name of this organization will be Together for Children. And in nearest future, we plan to work in three main areas. First one is providing help and support to graduating orphans, which is Alpha Life project, which already is working. And we plan to structure and develop it so that it can help many more kids. The second area would be prevention program in communities where we develop some services that will allow children to stay in family and not go to the orphanages. And the third area will be helping young people with disabilities that age out from orphanages. And as Mike again said, usually they are placed in retirement homes and for the rest of their lives. So we would like to find a way to provide permanent housing and support for them so that they could live integrated in communities.
That's great. I mean, that is just awesome. I love hearing about the plans and what's already in place. I think that's really exciting. Some of you might be, you know, big vision thinkers, and I just think that's really exciting to be a part of. And I think it's awesome that we as a church get to be a part of that, going from a program in one city that is now going to approach national scale and already in the works. So I think that's very exciting. But at the end of the day, I want to know, how does all this impact one person, one kid in the ministry? How does this change the life, everyday life, of one young man or one young woman coming out of an orphanage? So to answer that question, we've got a video for you with Tanya's story. Just a little disclaimer, there are two different people speaking in this video, but there's only one translator. So don't let that mix you up. You have one voice, but two different people. Let's watch.
I was born in the village. We have a big family. I have three more brothers and two more sisters. When the younger sister was born, our parents began to drink alcohol, and then the problems began in the family. We didn't have food to eat. There were fights at home all the time. And one day, it was both my and my mom's birthday, came the director of the school in the village where we lived. He said, "Get ready, we are taking you to an orphanage." We were just setting the table at home for the birthday, my brother and I and our mother with the baby. The director just came to our house, knocked at the door and said, "Get ready." And then we were seated in the car and taken away from home. And then when our mother was not there with us anymore, we cried a lot. Our elder siblings tried to run away from the orphanage. We simply missed our parents there. About a year before my graduation from the orphanage, Zhenya, Andrei and Viktor came to us. They were telling us about the dangers of alcohol, smoking and drugs. Later, when I graduated, Zhenya had been sending me messages like, "Come visit us, we have games here and all kinds of meetings and parties." But I didn't go then, first because I was living in the village and I just didn't want to go. I remember the first time when we came to the orphanage where Tanya lived. We met her and she said that she needed help preparing for her math exams. Well, we didn't really manage to arrange this preparation properly because the village was located 25 kilometers from the city. But still, we had few lessons, and my first impression of her was that she's such a friendly, kind and sympathetic girl, very active. When I graduated from an orphanage, I didn't have the orphan status. It wasn't given to me during the period when I lived in an orphanage. So that meant that I didn't have any support from the state. I had to pay for my studies, support myself on my own, because I wouldn't be able to survive on 300 hryvnias of my student allowance. After my graduation, I continued living in the same village where the orphanage was located, but I worked in the store in another village. It became very inconvenient, so I got a job in the same village and I stayed at my classmates. We often went to discos, we went to neighboring villages, we were partying a lot and drank alcohol. I have noticed, along with a few other faithful guys, such a problem that graduates of orphanages have nobody to ask for help. I mean, in an orphanage, they are taken care of and there is some person who can tell them what to do and where to go. But then there are no such people after graduation and children begin doing dangerous things because this freedom, it's in fact just simply killing them. A church from USA, Life Point Church, wanted to support financially a project that would help graduates in their adaption, in their socialization, personal support, and would be mentors for graduates. And for me, this was like the answer from God to this problem. It meant that I'm finally able to do it, and I will do it, and for me it was a gift. After I joined the project, my social environment has changed drastically. It has changed for the better. I felt it. And I noticed that those friends I used to spend time with, they just forgot about me. My life position has changed, I think, the way I saw my life. It used to be that way, but it really can change for the better. All you need is just to try. I felt myself needed. I knew that I could ask for help or support at any time. I had never had this before. I like how we spend our time, our meetings where we discuss various topics, the topics that really concern us, some scenes and situations that are going to happen to every one of us soon, so we should be ready for them. For the last 3 years, I traveled with Project to the sea. This was also a Christian camp. We made a program together, we were swimming a lot, just as usual. This was time for everyone to make a plan for the next year, maybe grow a bit spiritually and actually relax from work.
So there's actually a lot more to Tanya's story, but we don't have time to go through all that. We would just love to have her here in person on this stage to share that with you in person. However, we've tried to get her to come here 3 different times, applied for visas, and she was denied all 3 times. The plight of the orphan even affects their limited mobility. I mean, she's not allowed to travel because they said they don't think she'll come back. So no visa. However, that doesn't stop us from supporting her as a church. We are going to give you the opportunity to do that right after this service. You can go out in the lobby. Mike Doris will be out there at the table. There are sponsorship opportunities at the table. And through sponsorship and prayer for these orphan graduates, we are answering God's call to learn, to do good, to seek justice, to help the oppressed and defend the cause of orphans and fight for the rights of widows. So stand for the orphan. See the need, feel the need, and do something of eternal value by caring for orphans and the fatherless in practical ways. Become foster parents. Consider adoption. Help adoptive parents by offering an evening of respite. Raise awareness or sponsor an orphan graduate. Stand up for the orphan. Do something. Do something for the good of the fatherless and for the glory of the God who made us ex-orphans through Jesus Christ.